Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 607 of the Drunk Dashers podcast. I'm as always, I'm Tyler, and join me, we have the man, the myth, the legend himself, Sir Colonel Gables. And before you say anything, Gables, first off, happy birthday, Gables.
Thank you.
And Gables had a weird request before we started the podcast. He said he wanted 60 seconds to top the show to say something nice about the passing of O.J. Simpson. Go ahead, buddy.
Are you fucking kidding me, dude? Oh, here's a fun fact, though. Here's a fun fact. For the part of my morning, I decided to go onto Facebook for the first time in like about a couple months, right? And then I start seeing all these memes of O.J. Simpson after he passed, right? And the ones that are getting me right now are the ones where it's like him in heaven and still be chased by a bunch of these police officers inside of his Bronco. I mean, that's just fucking just... That's just still freaking hilarious to me no matter what, dude. But, man, I'll be perfectly honest, man. I have nothing positive to say about O.J. Simpson.
Nobody does. Nobody does.
But at the same time, you know, out of respect for his family and stuff like that, I understand, you know.
No. No.
But at the same point.
Fuck them all. Fuck them all.
But at the same point, man, it's like... I've never felt that way where it's like someone passes on and I'm like, okay, next person.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's terrible to say, but at the same point, it's like, that's just exactly how that situation is. I don't care that this dude was like, oh, it's his football or his commentating or like potential acting stuff. He's probably one of the reasons why the Niners were cursed because he fucking was wearing a fucking Niners uniform or something like that in one of his pictures and stuff. So I'm like,
yeah, well, he did. Didn't he play his last 2 years for the Niners?
Probably. I don't know.
Yeah,
he
got traded. He played like 2 years with the Niners. He's washed at that point. So
yeah, sounds about right.
70s. Yeah. But yeah. Anyways, Gibbles, it is your birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you. How
are you doing? How's your week?
Oh, yeah, my week started off kind of a little bit rough and stuff. At the workplace and stuff, I had, like, one of the elderly donors or something like that. It was pretty much, like, call me an effer because I could not take any of her stuff or something like that after we closed for that initial donation stuff for taking and stuff. So that's how the week started. But
did she have, like, a dozen Wii balance boards or something?
Oh, no, she just... I don't know. She just had like a load of like stuff and stuff, and it was already like after the initial cutoff point, you know. And
gotcha.
It was just one of those moments where I'm like halfway through, and it's just like one of those things where when you're like halfway away, and they know that they could just drive away as soon as like you do something. Like, yeah, man, it was just a big old hard F or something like that. Yeah, I just hear that, I'm like, really?
Yeah.
But
God, love those people.
Yeah, man, it's like, it started off like that, then, like, progressively, it got better to the point where yesterday, it felt like at work, like, a lot of things just went into the right place, store sales went good and everything. Then today felt different, you know, it's like, it didn't feel like anything, like, terrible or anything out of the norm or anything. It just felt like, with my birthday, it was like, it just felt like it was just something kind of, like, changed a little bit, you know, but at the same point, it was highly enjoyable. Had a chance to pick up colors for the house. I like picked up like a couple different things and stuff for like point card stuff for both Steam and for PSN stuff. Renewed my PlayStation stuff. On top of that, you know, got my hair cut, pretty much like shaved my freaking head like I generally do. You know, it's just the normal type of stuff that I would be doing and stuff. It felt nice because the weather was like a good solid like 60 degrees and stuff. It was the first actual 60 degree weather stuff of the year so far, so that was a good positive.
Yeah,
man, other than that, I mean, today has been fairly fun. I mean, it hasn't been any type of disappointing stuff, but how have you been, Tyler?
Oh, you know me, man, clanging and banging as always. Feel pretty great. The weather's been nice here as well. Today was like, we actually got into like it was like 80 degrees at one point today, which is pretty crazy.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so it's been pretty nice. Finally, we're getting to that point where hopefully it's going to start staying nice. I'm sick and tired of it's 30 in the morning, and it's like 65 in the afternoon. Just get to the 60s. It'd be nice. But, you know, that's weather talk. I'm not going to get all that. But I'm doing good, you know, just clanging and banging. Like I said, as always, nothing too crazy going with me. Just another week. Another fun little week. But, yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. One cool thing, though, is I... officially got time off of work for the week after, or like that, the week of Summer Game Fest.
Yeah.
So like not like I think Summer Game Fest is like on like June 7th, like the Friday. I got the week after off. So we're going to be coming back this year. We're going to do like the live reacts to everything. Mm-hmm. We'll see about Ubisoft. That's on a Monday. I don't know if I'm going to commit to that.
It may not be even worth it at that point. I'm just saying.
Yeah. last year we weren't able to do it, and I'm so happy we weren't. The year before that, I did a live react by myself to the Ubisoft Forward, and it was probably one of the worst 90 minutes of my life. Just sitting there by myself, live reacting to this Ubisoft Forward, where it was just people sitting on the couch talking with no games to show. So hopefully it's not that. Hopefully it's better. And we got a trailer this week for Star Wars Outlaws, and that looks pretty good. I'm actually kind of excited for that one. I want to see more from it. I did a live react to that. If you want to check our YouTube channel, check us out. Also, everywhere where you know, you can watch a podcast on YouTube as well. So like, follow, subscribe, check us out there. Leave a comment. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, no longer Google Podcasts is dead. It's now on YouTube Music, I guess. If you have the YouTube Music app, we can find us there as well. Pretty much any podcast service, you'll find us there. Twitter, Facebook, all that. Please check us out all those places. Share with the podcast with your friends, all that. Really appreciate if you did that. But I did a live react to that. Talk about Star Wars Gables. Like, I just wish I can hate it. And it's like an X, you know? It's like, I just want to move on from you. I want you out of my life. And then, like, all of a sudden, you see a little picture. And you're like, oh, God damn it. There's fucking Jabba. Oh, man. Damn it. Fuck. And you start scrolling through your phone again. And you find an old nude from Jabba the Hutt that he sent you. And you're like, God damn it. I miss Star Wars. And here I am. you know, like, I'm just sitting there scrolling through my Jabba nudes, you know? Anyways, yeah, don't go to that Reddit channel. I'm sure that you think there's a Jabba News Reddit channel.
Yeah, I probably think there probably is at some point.
Yeah, if not, I'll make one. anyways, yeah, please, yeah, like this is a video game podcast. Swear to God, but Gables. Without further ado, though, let's get some of the news this week. Not a few pretty spicy news stories going on. This first one here is from Forbes. Destiny 3, apparently Gables might be in production here. They did have the final shape, like showcase, whatever you want to call it. Did you watch that?
I honestly did not have a lot of time to really watch a lot of gaming, like new stuff this past week. So I did not see the actual showcase itself. I only heard tidbits of what was going on from one of my friends who is heavily into Destiny 2, is pretty much an understatement. And, yeah, it's just a lot of good stuff apparently has been switched upon, you know, and like basically there's now they're going to be eventually doing away with like subclasses. They're actually having like a feature to where you got like two different subclasses that are pretty the prism.
Yeah.
The prism type of like subclass to where it's like you have two different like subclasses that are just merged into one and stuff. And that's part of the things that I've heard in terms of changes, but ultimately, it's like one of those things where Bungie feels like they're trying anything right at this moment in time to get players back by doing something completely different and hopefully having to be like a taste of what's to come for the final shape, because this is basically Destiny 2's last hurrah. This is Destiny 2's last hurrah, is with the final shape. That's what I've been feeling for a long while, even with their initial last set of like announcements for DLC way back last, like back around like 2021 and stuff, with the Witch Queen, with the last expansion, which was total dog shit, and then like with this
Lightfall,
yeah, that one, that one's responsible for me not even playing Destiny more so than like say a couple hours past its expansion stuff, and with the final shape, you know, I'm actually seeing a little bit more positivity in terms of people wanting to come back and want to get into playing a little bit of Destiny that have lapsed and stuff for a long while. And with rumors coming that there is Destiny 3 inside of production, I mean, that doesn't sound any different than what other developers and stuff would try to do. I mean, if there's been a company that has been able to recreate, like, say, a success from like taking down one of their live service games and replacing it with like a sequel to another, it's pretty much Bungie with Destiny. Because you had Destiny and then that transition to Destiny 2 and stuff, build upon everything and stuff. It feels like more so that they have to have, like, say, a Destiny 3 lined up right at this moment in time. Because even with a bunch of the people that are playing consistently with Destiny 2, it's at that point where people are ready to move on from it. And having Last Light is sort of like a final hurrah leading up to, like, just having all that stuff and potentially more positive things coming through in the pipeline. I mean, this is probably after this initial reveal, this whole initial showcase for Destiny 2, it seems like that final sort of thing where it's getting people back and showing some bit of positivity to an otherwise sort of like negative like year. Just like a negative for the Destiny fan base for over a year with a lot of the layoffs of the Bungie crew, with a lot of like various like lapses in terms of like quality, in terms of their content that they put out, especially with the Lightfall expansion falling on like pretty much on deaf ears and stuff that did not rate fairly well. I think it was like maybe in the 60s, I think it was when it
No,
first
it was like
launched.
71 or something. I remember 'cause
71, even so.
I drafted and I got like less than a point for it, so.
Yeah, but even so though, it still was it's disappointing because people thought that the Lightfall was going to be that like thing for the final shape is right at this moment. So leading into it was pretty much like leading into like a prelude into the final shape. So it's yeah, I'm just kind of curious now what Destiny 3 will be at this
Yeah.
point.
All right, so after what coming up, what you've and plus what there's the new enemy for the first time in 10 years. They got a new enemy like the Dredge or something, I think.
Yeah.
I know people are pretty excited about that, but I mean, you're the Destiny 2 guy. I know that I know you hate that a little bit, but you're the Destiny 2 guy, in my life at least. How are you feel about Final Shape? Are you like you definitely in? Are you With percentage chance you end up playing Final Shape, like near launch.
That's a tough question. That's really more of how I feel when I try to play a little bit more of it and stuff after their recent changes, really. Because it's at this moment in time, they're at their last initial point of their whole deal, like their whole like a season pass stuff for like each season being $10 and all this other stuff. But was it Lightfall? No. Final Shape is in June, correct?
Yeah, June 4th, I
Okay,
believe.
June 4th. So we're pretty much like a nearly like
About
about a month and a
6 weeks.
half up. Yeah,
Yeah.
a month and a half out and stuff. It really depends upon now and like the bleed up to like the final shape because I'm not 100% convinced with the final shape yet. I'm maybe about 30% maybe likely at this point possibly of wanting to play it close to launch.
Okay.
But it really feels like it really will depend upon if I play a little bit more. Like, say, I have my friend that I will be going through and playing a little bit of Destiny 2 with possibly tomorrow and stuff, and I'm just gonna try to venture out and see how things are going with this and see if it's actually worthwhile. Because I'll be perfectly honest, man, I've played a lot of Destiny 2, I've played a lot of aspects, and I've waited a whole bunch of different times in order for that game to get better and not feel stagnant or feel like I'm overwhelmed with some stuff. Because that's the number one thing. Even with new players going into that game, they feel overwhelmed with a bunch of the content, with a bunch of like story stuff. For me, I felt kind of like a bit overwhelmed, plus a little bit kind of perturbed because even with a lot of the content that Destiny, what Bungie did have with Destiny, a lot of the story that I could have been enjoying, like unlocking and stuff, is pretty essentially locked inside their vault, and a lot of things have been sunsetted and stuff to where weapons do not count as much like say now as they were back in like say other years and stuff. Like for example, if I wanted to play the whole campaign for Forsaken, I can't do that
Yep.
because they already went through locked that up in their vault and everything else is like inaccessible. If I wanted to play the original story for Destiny 2, I can't do that because that's also been taken off because that was partially owned by, say, like with Activision and stuff like that as well. So there are some licensing issues that come to that effect. But I am not really sure. So
okay.
I'll just get back to you on that and see if that thing will actually prompt me to want to play this a bit more.
Okay. Gables, I'm going to make my prediction.
Huh.
I'm going to put it at 99% that you will buy it and you will play it. Because you are, I made this analogy before. I remember you were the same way going into Witch Queen and yep. a little bit going the same way into Lightfall. You were kind of at that same point. And I was like, what Destiny 2 to you is like Madden to me. I play Madden a lot more throughout the year than you play Destiny 2 now. But mm-hmm. I'm not really all that excited for the next one. Like, I'm like, I'm not going to buy it. Why am I going to buy it? I'm still playing this one. Or like, I'll play it for like, mid-July. I'm still playing, you know, last year's Madden. And then like August turns around and you start seeing some shit and I'm like, oh man, and then it's my most anticipated thing in the world. It's like the next Madden. Like once you get like a couple weeks out, it's like, that's all I want to play. I can't wait for the next Madden. And this is your Madden. But you know, Destiny 2 is your Madden. And mm-hmm. I will say, like, maybe you won't say on the show. I think you're going to still fight it. You're going to still fight it. But goddamn it, Gables, that weekend when Final Shape drops, you'll be playing it. I guarantee that first podcast after, I believe it was June 4th is the date, you'll be talking about the Final Shape on this podcast. I will guarantee it. But yeah, I mean, but it sounds like people are pretty happy with it. You know, like obviously, like,
yeah.
And I mean, the Destiny fan base seems pretty happy with it. And that's saying something, because usually they're the most miserable fucks out there. Like
they are. Like, and that's mostly Bungie's fault.
Yeah. But it's like nobody like it. But it's just like this echo chamber of just pure negativity. The Destiny fan base is nobody hates. It's like, it's kind of the same. It's probably the same thing. Like I am like Madden franchise people. Nobody hates the Madden franchise more than people that play Madden franchise. And that's like me. And it's like, but I still buy them. I still play them. I still love them because you know the core game is great. It's
right.
It's all the air shit that kind of sucks. But yeah, like, you know, I'm somebody that like, I love playing Destiny. Like, me and Jake went through and played Destiny 1 together.
Yep.
We bought, what was that? What was that first big expansion in Destiny that like reset it?
The first big expansion, you mean like, it's not the House of the Wolves, but it was something else.
That was the last one. I can't remember what it was, but that was like the first big one.
Rise of Iron or something.
Maybe that was it. But I remember we bought it. We had a great fucking time playing through all that together. And then, like, I remember you and me, like, we bought that last expansion that was supposed mm-hmm. to, like, tie into Destiny 2.
Yep.
And we went to go play it. But we were, like, it was, like, 100 under, like, the, what's, like, the power level?
The light level or some shit like that.
We were, like, 100 points. And I'm, like, it was going to take us, like, a month to grind to get to. So I remember we bought it. We spent, like, 20, 30 bucks on that fucking thing. We couldn't even play it because it was just like, unless we just like get, you know, we just quit our jobs and play Destiny for a month. then like jumping in Destiny, like I love playing that campaign. I think I played mm-hmm. the first expansion I went back to. And then like, I've told the story before and like, you've kind of already touched on it. Like, was it Forsaken? And then there was the other one. I bought them both. They're like $7 or something like that. And I bought them like, oh, I'm going to go back to Destiny eventually. I'm going to play these. So I'll buy them now while they're cheap. And I started playing one. I didn't finish it. I went back to play it later. Like, I think it was like before Witch Queen came out. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to get caught up. I'm going to play Witch Queen because I just love playing. Like, it's a fun fucking game to play. It's gorgeous. I love the worlds and stuff they built. But I went in and like couldn't figure out how to play them. And then like I Googled around and like found out, oh yeah, they got rid of them. They're gone. You can't play them anymore. Like, cool. I just wasted fucking bunch of money on this shit. And then I think it was last year I went back to play it. I'm like, fuck it. I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to jump in and play it. And I spent like 2-3 hours. I was just playing like this one session. I was just like, I'm so overwhelmed and lost and confused. I have no mm-hmm. idea where I'm supposed to go. I have no idea what any of this shit means. Like,
yep.
I mean, it's great that the game, they keep like, obviously it's great that they keep building and changing the game, but like the onboard and like, I remember just kept being pop-up after pop-up after pop-up after pop-up of like all these things. Like, here's what you need. I'm like, I don't know what this means. Like, I need a dictionary for this game to explain what the fuck this shit means to me. And then you can give me the fucking, like, there's like multiple tiers of like, I don't know what the fuck's going on here. I played like, I was just doing random. I'm like, I don't even know if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing right now. And I finally just like, I don't know. I'm just wasting my time. I'm getting out. I dipped. I was talking to some people in our Discord channel a few days ago, and we were talking about like, I think it's kind of the same story for a lot of us. Like, there's like one guy in there, like our buddy Cam, who loves the, he loves playing Destiny all the time, but he hates the fuck he's playing the game. Like, he's basically the miserable Destiny 2 fan. Then there's like other people like me and a few other people were like all kind of same stories. Like one guy, Josh, he's like played hundreds of hours of Destiny. You know, but like he wants to go back, but like he tried same thing. He tried going back and was like lost what the fuck's supposed to do. And there's people like a couple people in there like me that just like he want to jump in and then it's like I'm out. So going back to this Destiny 3 thing. So this is kind of what's going on here. So a Reddit poster back in February, an account posted something far-fetched on the Destiny 2 Links Reddit subreddit. They revealed something called the Prism, which ended up being the prismatic subclass where you can, you know, swap between abilities between subclasses. And kind of one of those things, like most of it's like kind of like when there's like a Nintendo Direct that's going to happen. A million people post fake Nintendo Direct leaks. And then like you come to find out, you check like a couple days later, someone actually like 100% nailed it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, cool. So it was like people were like, some people knew it, but like there's so many fake ones that nobody pays attention. Kind of the case here where like, you know, I'm sure there's a million fucking fake rumors and leaks that come out on the Destiny 2 leak subreddit. This guy posted about it, ended up being revealed at this new at the showcase we had here. But the most interesting part that came out of this is that he said for the rest of us, he's like, this is all back in February, by the way. Destiny 3 is in development under the codename Payback. One of the big changes for Destiny 3 is for classes to no longer exist and allow any characters to spec into any ability, since lore-wise, there is no reason you couldn't. I guess part of the delay that happened, the reason, because this was come out, Final Shape was to come out probably about right about now, maybe like February, March. Part of the reason it got delayed was so they can add that actually into this, into the Final Shape, the Prism.
Huh.
And he did mention, he actually kind of popped back in a day or two ago on that subreddit and kind of like this, obviously that post blew up afterwards. And he mentioned that he's like, I don't know if Destiny 3 is still in production, but he said like at one point that was, you know, it was, and you know, we've talked about this and I talked about this. We had like all the stuff that came out about Bungie about, it's like, it's a mess. Like Final Shape needs to hit. It has to hit. And yep. It's like, it's so funny. Like I mentioned that, like, it's crazy. Like they broke off of Activision. Because Activision, instead of like doing these, like making Destiny 2 a platform, they wanted them to like do a couple expansions and then make the new, like every like 4 years have the new Destiny, have like the new Destiny numbered one.
Right.
And kind of in a crazy way, like maybe it was probably the best idea. It's been what, Destiny 2 has been out for 7 years now, almost 7 years now.
You want to know what's really funny is now we're actually at that 10-year cycle.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Destiny 1 was supposed to be a 10-year cycle. Yeah, and it, like, it immediately had, 3 years later, had a fucking sequel. And, yeah, so, I mean, I guess it kind of makes sense. Yeah, they did have, in a way, with the Final Shape, that will be the end of the 10-year cycle. But I would assume this Destiny 3 is a long, long ways off. Marathon got delayed to next year.
Yep.
Even if Final Shape is a grand slam, it's better than anything we could ever hope for. It's amazing. I guess, like, what the problem is, like, what's next? Because this can't be the last hurrah for Destiny 2. Like, because Destiny 2 is Bungie. Bungie is Destiny 2.
Right.
And I guess, like, I don't know, Destiny 3 is probably, if it is in development, you have to assume it's, like I said, it's probably a PS6 game, you know, Xbox, whatever the fuck it's going to be called, game. You can't have two, 3 years of just nothing. You can't just keep doing, like, new seasons with, like, small thing, bits of content. Like I'm sure they'll probably have an expansion plan, but I don't know. I just I'm like, the big concern was like, what happens if, you know, Final Shape doesn't hit? Like that's bad for Bungie. But like now it's like, well, even if it does hit, what does that mean for Bungie? Because it's like, this is supposed to be the end of the storyline. Obviously they can, like, last year was supposed to be the end of the storyline. That, you know, they didn't finish the story. This is gonna finish the story here. This is a WrestleMania 40. But it's like, cool. What's next, you know? So I hope, I don't know. Like, obviously they can set something up in this and they have a, like, they're going to surprise. I'm sure, like, I assume they have something planned, but I'm just wondering, cause that's all I've been hearing about is like, this is going to finish up the light versus the dark. But I don't know. I think it's just very fascinating. That, like, I'm like, oh, cool. If they can just nail this, like, they're going to be fine. And I'm just like, cool. They can nail it. And I'm like, They could be, still be fucked. So, I mean, how are you feeling, Gables?
Yeah, it's basically kind of the same feeling that I pretty much have and stuff like that. It's like, Bungie really does need to nail the final shape, really, in terms of, like, just the production value, in terms of, like, making their fan base happy and stuff to the extent of what's presented. Having something new and different that's not, like, the same old bullshit that they have been doing for the past, like, 7 years or something like that. But when it comes to Destiny 3, I mean, yeah, they have to do something radically different or something like that. I mean, even if, like, through the Prism class is, like, a catalyst of what's to come for, like, Destiny 3 and stuff, they have to be profitable for, like, the final shape's release. It's also really interesting and telling that there are articles coming out here that actually say that the Destiny, like, Destiny players are coming back, though, kind of like a mass, kind of like, from what I was, I think from what I was, like, hearing, though, in terms of, like, as soon as, like, that showcase occurred for the final shape, there was, like, the Destiny, I don't think it was, like, either the servers or, like, something that was keeping track of things, like, on Steam or something like that, like, 3 times the players were returning back or something because of that initial announcement. So yeah. There is a lot of positivity coming back inside the Destiny fan base for fans that have lapsed for a long while. But yet, you've also brought up good, like good points in regards to, say, people that have either lapsed or they want to get, like, want to try Destiny in general, and how hard and how difficult, because that's kind of like how I was with Lightfall last year too, because it's like, when you're out of that sort of ecosystem and you're out of that sort of thing to where you're not there for each season or each things or this or that, you're kind of left with just wondering, okay, well, I don't give a shit about this and stuff. I'm just going to play the missions that are available right here. Maybe I'm going to improve some of my light levels here or there or something. And then I'm just going to try to streamline what the content here it is. And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if you get to that point.
Yeah. And I'm somebody that, like, if Destiny 3 drops and comes out in a couple of years or whatever, I'll be there day one to play it. Cause I said, I love playing the games. I think the game will be great. I'm someone that, like, it's like, I'm just giving up a hope on getting back into Destiny 2. So, if you get Destiny 3, I'm looking for that's as a, you know, as a fan of those games, at the level I'm at as a fan of those things, that's what I want. So,
right.
So, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But Gables, let's move on here. There's been a lot of confusing stories going on about about Dead Space lately. I don't know if you've seen all this. So, Jeff Grubb mentioned, so it was announced EA Motive, who made the Dead Space remake. Obviously, we know they're making an Iron Man game. It was announced that they have 2 teams, and the second team is going to help work on the next Battlefield game. So Jeff Grubb kind of brought up that on Game Mess podcast, that EA Motive was making a Dead Space 2 remake. It was in development, but was shelved because of lackluster sales. So everybody out there that did not buy, Gables, did you buy Dead Space?
Yep. Okay, I did buy Dead Space the PS5.
You are. I will neglect you from this statement because you didn't. I was going to put you in the statement. So for anybody that did not buy Dead Space, fuck you. Okay. Let me repeat that. If you did not buy Dead Space Remake, I don't care if you bought if it was $8 you bought it for. You're neglected from the statement. You paid a dime to help support Dead Space Remake. I love you. But if you didn't, fuck you. Clay, glad we got that out of the way. Next up here. So because of lackluster sales, they got shelved. In a weird case here, EA came out and denied that this was true. Usually this happens, like people ignore it. They don't say anything. So that happened. Jason Schreier came out and said from Bloomberg, said that they were actually making a new Dead Space 2. So they're making a Dead Space 2. It just wasn't the remake. But when it was like shelved or whatever happened, it wasn't even like technically really in pre-production. It was in very early stage. Like, they're still like figuring out what this thing was. So I guess what's kind of confusing here is like they were using the code name of what the code name was for the code name for this Dead Space 2 was the same code name of the Dead Space 2 from the first one. So that's where, like, some people were saying, Jason said he could easily got confused. It's very confusing, obviously, because of that situation, but maybe we just made the assumption it was a remake. So yeah, so all that happened. So sounds like it was in development, but it was in some, like, technically it's like EA. It's one of those things where, like, you can admit, like, yeah, they said it was never in development. Maybe technically that was true because it wasn't being developed, but they were people working on it. They worked on it at some point in time and then it didn't happen. Now they're making the Battlefield game. But I do want to point out that, companies do lie all the time, obviously.
Right.
I mean, there's obviously the famous case of like Grubb a couple years ago, maybe 3 years ago, said that Xbox and PlayStation were in talks to buy Bungie. And the CEO responded directly to Grubb on Twitter and said, that's not true. And then a few months later, PlayStation bought Bungie. So, and then obviously maybe the most famous case to me is leaks and reports came out that Nintendo was going to get ready to announce the 3DS XL, and Nintendo came out and said that's not true, while there was journalists and content creators at a preview event for a 3DS XL. So they were denying it while people were literally they denied it while there was people there with it in their hands. They said, no, that's not happening. So obviously these companies will lie. So
because they want to be the one that does the unveiling of these products.
Yeah, it's just weird though. Like, why just don't, you know, like 99% of the time, it's like Nintendo does not respond to leaks or rumors, or doesn't respond to rumors, or EA, the same thing. Just don't respond. Just ignore it. Why'd you come out and like say you didn't? Like, I'm gonna believe Grubb and Jason Schreier over EA on the situation that this was at least in the works, and then. Apparently, Dead Space sold about 2 million copies, which, I don't know, I feel like that's probably pretty good. But I guess not enough for them. I don't know. Pretty a big bummer for me. You know, someone that loves Dead Space, to the smallest extent, will defend Dead Space 3 to a very, very, very small extent there. We'll defend Dead Space 3 in a way. But, just it's heartbreaking, Gables. It's heartbreaking. And I just don't get it. I don't get it, Gables. Like, I don't understand EA's fucking like whole thing here. So 3 years ago, they're like, we're just going to, instead of like trying to create all these new IPs, we're just going to use established IPs. That's why they signed that 3-game deal with Disney to make, they obviously make the Star Wars games. Now they're making Marvel games. Like they're like EA makes, and you can argue the business side of things, but the games themselves, like these IPs that they use, they make good games. FIFA, Madden, maybe not NBA, but like NHL, a lot of Star Wars games and stuff like that. Like, they're at least good. Like, the Jedi games, Jedi Survivor especially, was fucking awesome. And it's like, a few years ago, they said this. Like, oh, we're going to, like, instead of trying to create a brand new IP, you know, like, we're just going to work on established ones. And like, okay, I get that. Just, you know, especially right now with the way things are. Makes sense, you know? And then they laid a bunch of people off just a couple months ago, and they said we're going to focus more so on our own IPs instead of like paying to use other people's IPs, which is weird because like they have like all these deals in place. Like this is what they fucking do. They make big IPs. They make video games out of those big IPs, and now they're like, cool. Well, that's like, all right. Well, we're not going to do Dead Space now. Fuck it. So, but we're going to make an Iron Man game still. And then we're going to work on Battlefield. Even though the last 3 fucking Battlefields you put out, nobody liked them.
You know, pretty much.
But Battlefield 21, 2042, 2140, I don't fucking remember. Immediately came out, no one gave a shit. I don't even remember the last fucking one that came out before that. Battlefield was a 5 or 1, that sucked. No one gave a shit.
Yeah, Battlefield 5 was one that was negatively like, the commercial stuff plus like the fan stuff was just like just panned the game and stuff because it wasn't as good as like Battlefield 1 and stuff. A lot of those different aspects and stuff. And on top of that, the last Battlefield game launched in such a poor state that people literally returned that game in mass and stuff to where now it's at a point where people still. The ones that are playing Battlefield right at this moment in time from the last game are the ones that stuck around and actually, you know, with a lot of the different types, like the patches and all this other stuff. But yet, It did damage that Battlefield brand for EA with that initial mishap, and still. So I'm just really kind of wondering if they are working on Battlefield right now, is there going to be people that are going to be wanting to actually go and buy this game? Because it's kind of something that we've brought forth in the past to where if the previous game sucked ass or something like that, it's going to hurt the next game that could be potentially great, you know?
Yeah,
The
it's the
Assassin's
thing.
Creed effect.
Yeah, I was exactly. Gables knew exactly. It's the thing I've been making for. It's not even. It's a bit at this point, but it's not a bit because I really can't remember that game. But like, Assassin's Creed Unity came out. Obviously, it was a buggy, gigantic mess. Even though it, at that point in time, was the highest selling Assassin's Creed game of all time, and then the next one came out, and that game was actually really, really good. Gables, what was it called?
Syndicate.
Thank you. Why can't I remember that game? I don't understand it. It's been like 8 years, and it's not even a joke. I really like. I was thinking about this the other day, Gables, because I was like thinking about like all this. I was like, I'll bring up this about whatever, and like, I'm like, what the fuck was that Assassin's Creed game called? Like, I was like, why can't I not remember it? And I don't know why. I beat that game, and I don't know the goddamn name. I remember the sister's name in the game, Evie. I remember her name. Don't remember the name of the fucking title. It blows my goddamn mind. Anyways, it's like, yeah, like obviously Battlefield 5, which I remember, like, I have a pretty decent memory. Obviously, Assassin's part of Gables, don't give me that look. So, Assassin's Creed Syndicate, I have a pretty decent memory about remembering things that came out and like video games, stuff like that. I remember like a couple of years, like it was like 3, 4 years ago, whatever Battlefield 2042 came out. And I remember. I'm like, this is the first one since Battlefield 1. And someone's like, no, Battlefield 5 came out. And I'm like, no, it didn't. Battlefield 1 was Battlefield 5. Like, no, there was a fifth one. I'm like, no, there wasn't. I was like adamant that that game did not exist. And I had to go back and I'm like, I went back and I looked at people. We talked about it. I
Yes, we
played it.
did.
And I don't remember a fucking thing about it. I couldn't tell you the title.
It was
I couldn't
that
tell you
bad.
the setting. I couldn't tell you one goddamn thing about that game. I played the fucking thing. I don't remember. I don't remember a thing about it. I guess I also played Assassin's Creed Syndicate. And I don't remember. I beat that game. And I don't know what the fuck it's called. But anyways, yeah, it's just like this hole in my brain. It's Assassin's Creed Syndicate title, and Battlefield 5 are in that same black hole in my brain of just like never gonna remember this. I don't know. Maybe now I'm gonna hate Battlefield more because I'm not gonna get new Dead Space because of this fucking franchise that hasn't been good in like a fucking decade. People still just shitting their pants over Battlefield 1942.
Yeah, pretty
They
much.
came out like 25 fucking years ago. Let's move on. I'm gonna get upset again here, Gable. Sorry. Thank you for always having my back on Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
Oh,
Maybe if I
yeah.
just say it like five more times, I'll finally remember it. Assassin's Creed Syndicate, Assassin's Creed Syndicate, Assassin's Creed. I can't even say it five fucking times.
Just as soon as you do the third time, it's just your mind just goes blank and you just go cross-eyed over
Yeah, it's gone.
it.
It's gone. It's gone. Anyways, moving on here. Prince of Persia, the remake, Gables, that was famously
Yes.
announced in June of 2020, has come out in February 2021. It's been over 3 years now. Still hasn't come out yet. Obviously, it came out. That original trailer came out. And it looked like ass, and everybody made fun of it. And that game was like imminently coming out, and then obviously they delayed it indefinitely. The team that was working on it, eventually, I think it was like into 2022, maybe like early 2023, they announced they got moved to Ubisoft Montreal. And the plan was that Ubisoft Montreal was building upon what it was already worked on, which is kind of
Yes.
crazy because like all the game was done. So what okay, anyways, like what the fuck are they working on? But anyways, so this is from Insider Gaming, by the way. I'm just gonna read some of the clips I got here. So it's Ubisoft official announcement on the change of developers said that Montreal would be building upon the work already done by Ubisoft Mumbai and Pune, I believe is how you say that. But from what we've been able to gather, it's been completely redone. Everything is built from the ground up, which includes a complete graphical overhaul, new animations and mechanics for combat, parkour, and much more. Starting from scratch has meant the game has been rewritten, recaptured,
Right.
and mocap, and more. Remember, this game was coming out, and it was only like a $40 game. It wasn't even a full-fledged
Yes,
game.
yes.
Yuri Lowenthal, who also does the voice of Spider-Man. He was the voice of the original Prince from Prince of Persia. And he was also in the trailer when they revealed the remake, was also doing the voice and the mocap for this. Will no longer be reprising his role, despite him doing so in the original, like I said, original trailer here. So apparently, Insider Gaming here got some clips. Obviously, they're not going to post them. They said they got some gameplay clips of like where the game's at right now, and it's still in very early development.
That's just really disappointing at this point.
Yeah, it's like, it's not even Montreal's fault. You know, it's kind of like I remember when the Dead Island 2 came out, was that last year, I believe.
Right.
And I can't remember the developers that made it, but like it was like everybody was praising them for like, man, I can't like. Good for you for like turning this around and like putting out a quality game that sold multiple millions of copies. And I'm like this was a normal development for us. We just made the game from the beginning and put it out. Like this was like a normal development. Like to us,
right.
That like had saw that game revealed like a decade earlier and it went through like multiple publishers, multiple developers. Like, I think it went through like six developers and it's kept getting restarted every time it switched over. And it's just like, to us, it's like, oh my God, I can't believe you made a good game out of this. And it's like, no, we just made a game. Like we didn't, nothing was out of the normal for us. And like, it's kind of like in this case here from Montreal where it's like, they're just handing some chicken shit. And instead of like trying to make chicken salad out of it, they just threw the shit out and they're like, we'll just make our own chicken salad here. That's kind of what they're doing here. But to us, it just looks like chicken shit still. I hope that made sense to people. I'm baffled that a game that was supposed to come out over 3 years ago is years away still. This is like Last Guardian levels of like development here.
It's sort of like that, but at the same point, I look at it from the opposite perspective to where that game, even though the Prince of Persia remaster has taken so long just in development and stuff, in that time, they not only put out the Prince of Persia game that has been releasing, going to be released, that actually did release earlier on this year, and then flash forward to this past week and stuff during one of these like little independent like
Triple I showcase
and stuff like that. Yeah. What happens is there's a new Prince of Persia game and it's called The Rogue Prince of Persia.
Yeah,
and awesome. That thing looks fucking awesome too.
Comes out early access next month. Yeah, I will say I didn't put it in the show notes here, but that Triple I showcase, it's like 45 minutes. Check it out. It's really good. There's like 36 games announced. I fast forward through some because there's like probably like half dozen or so are like RTS games and shit like that I don't care about. But disrespect those people. Just not my bag, baby. But there's some really great games that are in that showcase, and I highly recommend if you are a fan of gaming and you want some cool indie games, kind of fill some holes here while we wait for the big stuff. Check that shit out because it looks pretty great. But yeah, go ahead, Gables.
Well, like I was saying though, it's like in that span of time to where they could have kept on working on the remaster of Sands of Time and stuff, we're getting quite possibly potentially two fantastic Prince of Persia games and stuff in that initial gap and stuff. I mean, obviously there's no excuse for leaving that game that's supposed to have been released like 3 years ago at this point, like in the back burner and stuff, pretty much. But at the same time, we got an excellent Metroidvania style of Prince of Persia game. We have what looks like almost like a platformer in terms, just a strategic, like almost like a side-scrolling platformer Prince of Persia game, it almost looked like from the initial footage, you know. And what I'm loving most about it is they are pretty much having different takes of what type of Prince of Persia game that they're going to be making, right? So it's like, one was like kind of like a cel-shaded like this and that, you know, with like the Metroidvania aspects and stuff. This one is more like kind of like a nuanced style of a Prince of Persia game. It looks fairly like faithful to some of the platformers and stuff from what the roots of Prince of Persia in general of the franchise. But it leaves me fascinated that they're thinking of new concepts of like a familiar IP and stuff and not like just going the realm of, oh, okay, we're just going to make this AAA, like, Prince of Persia game and stuff and, like, have all this, like, crazy stuff going through. it actually got me to think, it's like, why is it that more big companies, you know, like, say, not just Ubisoft, though, but, like, say, just put out smaller games like this of familiar franchises, like, consistent, like, yeah. almost like every couple of years or something, just have a new take on, like, the familiar franchise and stuff and have it be, like, this good of quality without having it be AAA, because that's... Yeah. What's kind of like renewing my interest and in wanting to get into Prince of Persia is because you have these games that focus on something almost completely different, or focus on something that's incredibly familiar, but it has a different take on it that is interesting, that I do want to go and like enjoy, you know? It's, you think for something that is this simple to try to understand, more companies would try to deal that route in between doing these major AAA games. Because we wouldn't be at this point with the AAA gaming industry right now, where it's like we keep overspending on multiple different types of projects or live services that don't go anywhere, if, say, we would have a good balance between a lot of these major sort of releases and then the smaller games in between. I don't know, Tyler. Yeah. It just seems like a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's something I've been screaming from the rooftop for, like, couple of years now with like everything going on. It's like, you know, like instead of making like, or like I've been saying, like make the standalones, like Uncharted Lost Legacy and Miles Morales shit, like that's right. Like, or like what Far Cry does, where they make the big game, you know, the next Far Cry number game, and then they build like a side game off of that same map and reuse a lot of assets and stuff like that. It's like, keep doing that. Unfortunately though, Lost Legacy from Lost Crown, I don't think it sold super duper well last report we had here, so that's kind of disappointing. Like, obviously, Metroidvania is like probably the most crowded market in gaming.
Right. Absolutely, now. It is.
You know, even like Metroid Dread, like even though it's the best selling Metroid game of all time, didn't exactly blow the socks off of anybody for as far as sales go. Obviously, because it's a $60 Metroidvania in a world full of independent, you know, $15, $20 Metroidvanias.
Absolutely.
And this is also being made by the Dead Cells people, so you know, it's gonna be quality.
Wait, this is made by the Dead Cells crew?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that. Holy shit.
Yeah, so they have two teams. So this is the game they're making, and last year they put out that Castlevania expansion for Dead Cells.
Yep.
This part of it too. I've been like, I remember when like Nintendo like did a couple like they had a couple indie teams, like they did the Cadence of Hyrule. I'm like, this is the future. Like, I hope Nintendo does more of this, and just never did it again. Like, that was like 5 years ago. It's like, oh, cool. Like, this is like, do more of these, please. No, not gonna do that. It's like, cause I'd love that. They have like known really, really good, independent teams make a great game that you're known for making in that style with our IP, especially if like, you know, if you're like, it's an older IP or an IP, like you don't like, like Prince of Persia, like that is a perfect franchise to give to a Dead Cells team. Like, that is exactly what you want. So I wish more, you know, like I just wish more studios did the same thing. Like Konami, I'm looking at you. Please do that. You know, do the same thing. Give, you know, I know they did like the expansion for Dead Cells for Castlevania. Just fucking give the Dead Cells team a Castlevania.
Yeah. Like, no shit.
But I think that's it for the news this week. Let's go ahead. I did coming out of that, Gibbles, did you see Vampire Survivors new DLC coming out?
I saw that it was announced, though I didn't have a chance to delve into the trailer of it released.
So they finally, Vampire Survivors finally teams up with Konami.
Yeah,
but it's not the IP you think. It's fucking Contra. They're doing a Contra fucking team up. So it's like, someone had a good point, though. It was like, well, if they teamed up with Castlevania, like, would you be able to tell the difference? Like, that's a good point. Yeah, I can't argue that.
No, also, you wouldn't.
Yeah, I was like, oh, it's kind of, yeah, it's like it's borderline already. I'm surprised Konami hasn't sued. But yeah, they did announce that it's also coming to PS5 this summer, so that's pretty cool.
Okay, good.
I love that game. It's a fantastic game. I'm just not going to play it. I'm a recovering addict of Vampire Survivors, and I don't want to go back because I'll lose myself again. I'll have to quit the podcast. Give us somebody who's playing Balatro yesterday, and I'm like, "Wow, I'm never going to see him again after this." It's a miracle I showed up. So same reason I'm not playing that one. But let's get to some other news this week. Gibble, did you see the Persona 6 color leaked?
No.
Can I tell you the color?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Apparently people are getting mad because they're seeing the color. It's green.
Green.
It's green.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense because you had like Persona 1 is like kind of like a purple type of color, and then like Innocent Sin, you know, the Persona 2 and stuff was red in some aspects of that stuff, and then like Eternal Punishment was sort of like kind of like a purple or something like that I'm seeing, but Persona 3 was blue. Yellow, I think, was Persona 4, and then I think it was Persona 5 that was red as well. So yeah. Have this being like as a green and stuff makes a lot of sense to me for Persona 6.
Okay. I didn't want to say it without asking first because I've seen some people get mad because the color leaked. I'm like, the fucking color. I don't understand why
people would get mad at that. I mean, come on. They do these type of color schemes and stuff, and doing like green makes a lot of fucking sense.
Yeah. It's not like, you know, I told you Dumbledore died. Immortals of Avium, developer Ascendant Studios. So last year, they laid off half of their staff after Immortals of Avium came out. Then they announced, I don't know if they officially announced it, but it was reported that they had let go of the rest of their staff. So
That's
really sad news. Yeah, really sad news there. I thought I bought that game. You know, it just came out on PS Plus. I think it's
yes. For the month of April, I believe that it did came out for PlayStation Plus. But if you want to play the game that a lot of those crews and stuff, a lot of their hard work and labor of love and stuff put into that game, you can actually play their end product and stuff on PlayStation Plus.
Yeah,
so that's a positive.
Yeah, and I think it's also on like Game Pass Ultimate via EA Play. So, interested in that? Check it out there. I played it for about 6-7 hours. I liked it a lot, but then I found like it kind of turned to like more of like an open area game, and I was kind of wanting like more of like, you know, like more of like a hallway shooter type of thing, like more like more straight through. I was hoping for like a 10-12 hour game, and
yeah,
find out it was like a 20-25 hour game. But like I don't have any major issues with it, but I think it's a quality game, especially like if it's, you know, if you have PS Plus or you have Game Pass Ultimate or EA Play or whatever, it's on there, and I've seen it on sale like for like $20 a lot too. So I think it's definitely worth a check out at that price, especially if you're looking for stuff to play here. And then last but not least here, it sounds like id, who make the Doom games, apparently their next game should be revealed at the Xbox showcase in June. So makes sense because that was April 2020, like, yeah, because that was the Animal Crossing and Doom Eternal came out the same day. And that was like everybody's COVID games. I guess I could see that's been a little over 4 years. Maybe the game's not imminent, but maybe it's been long enough they can reveal it. But yes.
Please let it be the next Doom.
Yeah, God, please. And get rid of the goddamn fucking hookshot. I don't want get rid of it. get the fuck rid of it.
Go back to what made Doom 2016 amazing. Just don't add a lot of various bullshit. Just amazing.
Yeah, I Doom Eternal, still a great game. But man,
yes.
It might have been a thing where like I think that was like maybe the most hyped I've ever been for a game outside of like Ragnarok. Was Doom Eternal. Like that was like one of my favorite games I ever played. Probably my that and Titanfall 2 were probably my two. It's a 1 and 1A for best first person shooter campaigns of all time. So definitely a high bar to hit. Didn't love this hook shot. So get rid of that, or find a way to make it better. And I'm in. But Gables, let's get into what we've been playing, buddy. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
You can go first.
All right, cool. I don't know why I asked because I haven't really been playing anything. I've been playing some more Helldivers too, Gables.
Yeah.
It's a great game. I don't know what else to say at this point. I fucking adore it. I can't not want to play this game. Does that make sense? I don't know. I always want to play this game. I don't know why I was making it so difficult for myself.
Do you generally always play like alone or something? Do you play with people?
What I do is like a little tip for people. If you want to level up kind of fast, just like pick the world you want to go to and then hit square that does quick play and you can just join people's games. And you can kind of join in and like you join in like a few, like you're probably like 5-10 minutes into their game. And then you can, like, if you want to level up kind of fast, it's a good way to level up fast and boom. And, like, because you get all the XP that they get, but you don't have to do all the work. It's kind of great. So I'll do that every now and again. Like, especially if like I don't have like a lot of time. Like if I like kind of like, oh, I just want to do like a quicker game, because games can, if you want, like depending on how crazy you want to get, if you want to do like a lot of the, because every game you go into, there's like different areas you can take out, extra shit you can do. Like there's a main thing.
Yes.
You can knock that out in like 10 minutes if you want to. But if you want, like, you can run around. You have a 40-minute time limit in all these worlds. So so you could stretch it out to, like, 25, 30 minutes sometimes if you wanted to. But, yeah, so I like to do that, especially if, like, I get home from work. It's like, you know, I've only got, you know, maybe, like, 30, 40 minutes. I'm like, I don't, you know, I can play a few more games to get a little more progress that way. But if I'm just sitting there, like weekend, I'll just jump in. I'll just start a game and, like, throw an SOS beacon out. People can join me, stuff like that. Or, like, you can join other people's games still that way, and like they're like start early on, or like join them like right as they're starting too. So, but yeah, I play by myself, but I'm like usually in a group of people. I just not talking. So, but yeah, like I just love all the dumb shit that's going on. Like, even though it's like kind of bullshit, like kind of thing where like they're kind of just getting you to like, they do enough to like the areas and the maps and what's going on to like keep it kind of spicy and interesting. But,
right.
Like, you're really just kind of redoing the same content over again, but they just kind of add little different things to it over and over. But the story that the social media team tells you, like, it's so great. I just love it. Like, so like last week, like, hey, we're almost pushed back the automatons completely, the robots. And we did it. And it was like for a whole weekend, the automatons were just gone. There was no missions, nothing. You only fight the bugs for like a whole weekend, like 3 days. You just couldn't do it. And like everybody was celebrating, it was awesome. It was this really great, really great moment. And then I think it was like Tuesday. It's like, guys, that was just that was like the front line, and like they're back. And but it was funny before that. Like I think it was Monday, they posted a tweet like congratulating all of us for pushing them back, and everything like that. And it was like the tweet was like, hey, like this long tweet about how like, congratulations on defeating the automatons. As your reward, you receive an extra 1 minute break today. That 1 minute includes you reading this message. And it was just a funny, it's just like dumb shit like that. Like that makes me love. And it's just like cool. Cause like everybody wants to get like excitement of like, oh my God, we got to push the automatons back. And everybody jumps in and like, you want to go back. You want to take them out. And it's like, that's all I've been doing for the last couple of weeks is like when I play is like, I'm taking them out. I'm focusing on them. Even though, like, I prefer fighting the bugs. The bugs, I think, are more fun. A little easier as well. But it's just so fun to go back. And there's, like, little, like, they purposely do, like, little teasers to kind of fuck with, like, the crazy, like, conspiracy theories. So, like I mentioned, like, a month ago, they, like, overnight, like, did an update and it added flying bugs into the game. And the developers and, like, their Twitter account was, like, we're denying it. And, like, no, that's not true. There's no flying bugs, do not exist. And like, this whole thing, and like, even though they're in the game and they're real, they're just like denying it. And then like a week later, they like tweet out, it's like, we are seeing some possible evidence of flying bugs. Not to say that the people that were saying that, like these fake people were out there, like that they were right. Just that we're starting to see some evidence here. It's like, it's this whole like stupid, funny thing of like, just like this military, like just how crazy the military is. Like the lore of like we were like you're, what's going on like you always see like red lasers firing like the yes. automatons like they shoot red lasers and now we're like people are starting to see like blue lasers and it's like what the fuck like they're shooting from like we can't see where it's coming from though it's like off the map and like so it's creating all these like conspiracy theories and like what's going on guys and it's like the subreddit is like crazy right now where like people are like so into the bit of Helldivers that like they are like. People that like they're like just reporting like hey like something's going on here like you know whatever like talking about like some rumors and leaks and stuff like that and like they're actually reporting them in the subreddit to like the people in charge because of like they're against the like for they're against the government and shit it's so fucking like it's so fucking awesome
this sounds amazing.
It is great. The like just like how into people are, and just like when you talk, like every now and then people have their mics, and you can like I'll talk a little bit to them and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And like some people are just like completely like role playing, and like they're in, and it's just so fucking funny. Like how like yeah, like we might be playing some of the same content over and over again, but like when you get into like the meta of the game, of just like you pay attention, like I said, like the social media accounts, like you get into like. Not crazy, even like I'm not really going like the subreddit crazy. Like I dabble in it a little bit to see kind of like what's going on. Like what the automatons like just took over a planet, destroyed the planet. And there was like this whole like mourning planet, like this whole mourning period. People were like devastated because we lost this planet. Like this happened a few weeks ago. And it was like, people were calling it the Nom of Helldivers. And it was like, it's just, like, it's so great. It's like, it's fucking, I love this game. I just love like when I'm playing this game, I just enjoy the conversation. I almost enjoy the conversation around Helldivers more so than actually playing the game. And I love playing this game because it's so fucking fun. And like
that's
I said,
really
even just
cool
play by myself.
Dude.
Go ahead.
Dude, that is so fucking cool how like the people, the media, like the media sites and stuff, like, and how the Helldivers devs are dealing with all that, you know, that's perfect in and of itself. But they've done it so well that even the players are kind of like a little bit in on the act, and every little strange thing that notices a different inside the game, they're like just literally just reports, like, okay, what the hell are you guys up to here? You know,
yeah.
That's amazing, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe like what they've done with this game. It's like, I no one probably talked more shit about this game before pre-release than me, and I'm one of those things where I'm so happy I was wrong because this is might be my game of the year. that's saying something. Like I just like nothing has brought me more joy this year than playing this game. So that's what I'm playing. It's like it's just been dabbling Helldivers too. So Gables, what about you, buddy?
Okay, so I've been playing one game this past week, and it's been the perfect game to play in between of like work and everything else, and that has been Balatro. Balatro to, and you know, from everybody that it's either listening or something like that, this is a game that I really did not have too much interest in when I first heard about it or when it first like was released. And when honestly, though, I don't really play a lot of poker, so I'm not really too familiarized with a lot of the inner like things in terms of what moves are what, you know, what combination of cards equate to what. All I know is that all I've heard about the terms like full house or straight or a flush or like a pair and all of this other stuff, but I've never really played too much of poker in my lifetime. So I decided to buy this game as like a roll of the dice because I've
roll
heard
of the
so
dice
much
is not
great
a poker
things.
Reference. Gables, try it again.
I know. So I decided just to cut my deck and stuff and just redraw a fresh set of cards and stuff. And this, I gotta admit, this game has done a fantastic job of not only teaching me how to play poker, but like it has done it to a degree to where I really just got sucked into really wanting to play like one more game because it has that roguelike element to it, to where even with like a new run and stuff, you're constantly unlocking stuff. You're constantly trying new ways and stuff. You're trying so desperately like to get new jokers or get like new like arcana cards or like tarot cards and stuff that'll affect certain aspects. And it's completely random. It's like when you invest inside the point, the cash stuff that you do earn and stuff inside the middle of your run and stuff, you can use it to either improve, say, what cards you get or change specific card suits to different card suits, you know, or if you have, like, if you wanted just to buy a couple packs or something based upon, say, like, the standard cards themselves, there's always, like, some sort of RNG chance of, oh, okay, maybe you get a glass card or something that's going to be only good for, like, one or two uses. Or, hey, you're going to get this wild card here to where it's, like, basically can be any suit. And it's, like, you have those type of options on top of trying to beat all of these type of bets, like the small bet, the like the large bet, or like the boss bet and stuff of each round before you go when the ante gets higher and higher and higher and higher. I think the highest ante I've actually completed and upwards of is like a 5, I think I want, because there's like this 8 in all. And each time you do a run and stuff, the way you score points is based upon how well you're able to accumulate the right joker cards. So you only have, like, about maybe 5 spots for Joker cards. And, like, 2, like, different slots or something. Like, one for, like, it's a combination of, like, the Tarot and, like, the Arcana cards. And those ones have their different abilities. It's, like, each time you accumulate the mission that you have to do for a bet, you get that specific type of points. You get just basically, you earn the money from the round completed, and you use that to go into the next round and this and that. And it's so simple to get into. It's one of those games to where it feels like I'm playing Vampire Survivors for the first time, to where I love what I'm playing. It's super simple just to get into a game and then just kind of turn your mind off a little bit and stuff and still play. But at the same time, it's difficult to master the type of stuff that I want to do inside of this game, because I have to keep a lot of things into consideration while I'm playing a hand. Like, say, do I want to hold these face cards and stuff, like the king, queen, and like jack cards or something for the next round? Or do I want to use them in a collaboration with an entirely, like, say, big suit, like just a flush sort of suit or something like that, to where I just want to discard a couple different cards just to get, like, a couple more, like, say, heart cards or diamond or club or spade cards, and then just do the flush that way to get even bigger points, you know? It has that right type of risk and reward that I really like, to where there are times you will completely burn yourself and you completely lose a run because you discarded at the wrong time. But there are times where I've saved my discard to, like, the very last bit, and I've ended up getting the right card combination in order to do, like, a pair, which will then combo into a joker that maybe, like, will add even more multipliers because you used a heart type, or a card that used, like, that has you increase, like, the multiplier what you can earn, like, say, with a spade type, or maybe doing a pair in sort of a combo, or doing like a flush for tip of the combo, or it's has that type of unpredictability, and then and it has that type of like flexibility to where you could do these specific types of decks and like you could flourish fairly well. I mean, I've seen people on Twitch do speedruns in terms of trying to do like Bellatro stuff, you know, and it's essentially people that have some knowledge of poker, but yet they have added on to it to, because they have that inner knowledge of that card game in general, with these RPG, RNG, like, elements and stuff, they are able to get through things super quick and stuff. But, as it comes right now, I've unlocked, I think, about 5 different types of decks. I mean, the last one I unlocked, though, it was, like, a green deck that has, like, a it has a specific ability, I think, in terms of earning different types of cash or something. I may be remembering that wrong, but oh well. At the core of the gameplay, it's just a game of poker. You can, like, say, try. It's just basically you're trying to beat points. Like, for example, the very first match, the very first bet you get is, like, a small bet, and it could be, like, upwards to, like, the 300 points or, like, the 450 points or whatsoever. But with the different types of combinations, like, say, matching 2 for a pair, or 3 of a kind, or 4 of a kind, or a flush, or something, you can pass that fairly easy, but once you get up to the ante levels, like, say, the higher ones, say, like, with a 5 or a 6 or something, the points will be starting blowing up catastrophically, like, say, 24,000 points now you gotta aim for, or, like, 50,000 points now you have to aim for in order to do the right type of combination suit. And you could completely be screwed by, like, the luck of the draw, you know, to where you may have had the right cards in your deck or the right type of, like, jokers or arcana or tarot cards, but if you get, like, a bum hand, like, a couple different times, or if you're discarding and stuff and, like, you're still getting crap, I mean, that's going to defeat your entire run. So that aspect of Bellatro can be frustrating, but I am really taking notice that during the initial week now that I've played it, I've already spent close to about like 7 or 8 hours just playing this game, and it's because I want to do that one more game mentality, and I'm getting a bit better as I'm like progressing. Like, I'm starting to recognize different card suits, like in terms of combination with others. I know now what, like, say, a 2 or 3 of a kind are, or like a flush, like entirely, you know, the flush of like a particular type, like, say, with if I get all of, say, like, a spade or something like that, you get all 5 of the cards, you're like, spades, that's considered like a flush or this or that. But yeah, it's really opened my eyes in terms of, like, wanting to play poker in general, but it also opens my eyes to, hey, these games that are on Steam that hardly anybody really, like, you know, maybe not a lot of people, like, around our neck of the woods or our circles of, like, gaming, like, groups or something really do talk about as much.
Yeah.
Will you know, like may not know too much about it, but for those that us that do, or happen just to just have a random chance or something, just try it like on a Steam or something like that. I mean, we will people will definitely get to know much more about it, but it's led me to want to try to find different types of games and stuff that have recently released that are getting these like critical acclaim, like sort of reviews. And that's kind of like how I ended up buying like a couple games last night in like Brotato, which I did play a little bit on Game Pass and stuff, but it's only like $3 and something. So I'm like, it was like a little 10% sale. And then Buckshot Roulette is another game I've also purchased. It's supposedly, it just released this past week. It's supposed to be fairly decent, right? Mm-hmm. And the whole concept of that game is like, it's just you and the dealer. It's Russian roulette with a shotgun and stuff. And you can do all these various type of, like, stuff in order to, like, trick the dealer or do this or do that. But that's something that I want to try to play a little bit, like, over the next week and see how I'm enjoying that. But, yeah, this is not going to be the end of my game purchases for games released this year, because I've already went through my initial part at the beginning of the year, investing inside a little bit of the Dreamcast, playing my fill in terms of that at this point. The Sonic Adventure 2 dud pretty much kind of soured my taste right at this moment, so I need a couple months to cleanse myself so I can re-get back into wanting to play Dreamcast stuff. But I'm really enjoying what I've played this year. That's the crux of what this week has kind of led me to believe. From playing Balatro, playing games like Brotato over the year here, and like a little bit of like Persona 3 Reload, not a lot, but Side Order was definitely beneficial as well. I mean, the Splatoon 3 Side Order stuff. But yeah, that's pretty much what I have been playing for this week.
All right. Well, very cool, Gables. I think that's gonna wrap it up for us this week, guys. So if you enjoyed this, liking this, please like, follow, subscribe, check us out wherever podcasts are available. We're on all those places. I got a frog in my throat there. We're on YouTube, like, follow, subscribe, whatever, leave comments. Twitter, Facebook, same thing. Check us out there, Drunk Dash Nerds, Drunk Nerds Podcast. You'll find us. 5-star reviews, comments, likes, shares, tell your friends, hire someone to fly a plane with the sign that says, listen to Drunk Dash Nerds Podcast, Drunk Nerds Podcast. Appreciate you did all that for us. But I was Joe, so I was Tyler.
I have been Colonel Gables, so until next time, thank you for listening to another fun-filled episode of the Drunk Dash Nerds Podcast.
And hey, Gables?
Yeah?
Fuck OJ.
Fuck OJ.
Bye, guys.
See ya. Go, go, Action Bronco.